Another kind of assault against Libya.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Tonight, President Obama will address the nation on the U.S. actions in Libya. A multilateral force continues the air assault there to enforce a no-fly zone. But there's another kind of assault, a small army of accountants tracking Muammar Gaddafi's foreign assets. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Here is an asset tracker at work.
I put it somewhere here. Oh, yes, there we are. Okay, so this is what you call an organogram, which is...
John Christensen is a forensic accountant. Displayed on his computer screen are the results of his asset tracking, an organogram.
An organogram is basically like a family tree, which shows how the different divisions of a company are structured.
This took several years to complete. It shows how a Russian politician siphoned money from an oil company and then disguised its source by passing it through dozens of tax havens, a process called laddering.
First step on the ladder might well be somewhere like Cyprus, where you have a high degree of secrecy, a low degree of regulation. Each step of the ladder takes you closer towards your final destination.
Like London, once here, the laundered cash can be safely invested in stocks, bonds or real estate. But tracking the cash through the tax havens, through a dizzying number of anonymous trusts, can take decades.
Just this month, Swiss banks froze accounts linked to Baby Doc, who fled Haiti 25 years ago. It takes a long, long time.
William Britton Catlin of Financial Investigators, James Mintz. He says asset tracking is so tricky because despots and oligarchs can afford the finest financial engineers to hide their money.
There are lawyers, there are advisors, trustees, fiduciary agents, corporate structurers, tax experts.
And a lot of them here in London.
London is it's probably the centre of excellence for structuring money.
In other words, money laundering. John Christensen despairs of the Brits ever putting a stop to this flourishing industry.
We love the money. The money comes in by the billions and we tend to ignore its source.
The UK says it has frozen all Gaddafi's British assets, reportedly worth $1 billion. But says asset tracker Christensen, that's surely just the tip of an iceberg of undiscovered loot. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A new survey shows a growing concern in the developed world about the increasing economic power of China. Research shows people in the U.S. are especially uneasy. The BBC's Rebecca Singer is with us now to talk about it. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning, Steve.
Why are Americans so concerned about growth in China?
Well, the survey doesn't ask them specifically why, but one of the big reasons being pointed to is the effects of the financial crisis. Now, the US is still climbing out of a big recession, while China appears to be bounding ahead. New York Times columnist and author Thomas Friedman says that's why the US is particularly concerned about China.
I would argue it's coming at a time when America has never been more paralyzed, more stagnating in the areas of infrastructure, education, precisely the areas we see China vaulting ahead on.
Now, the survey was conducted for the BBC World Service in 27 countries by the international polling firm GlobeScan, together with the University of Maryland.
How does the rest of the world feel, Rebecca?
Well, it's actually a similar concern in other rich countries like France and Germany and Canada. But in developing nations, especially in Africa, for instance, the feeling towards China is much more positive. Now, if you remember, China's invested heavily in countries like Nigeria and Kenya, and that investment has brought jobs and better infrastructure. And in fact, over the next 10 years, people say they expect China to be more important to their national economy than America is at the moment.
All right. The BBC's Rebecca Singer in London. Rebecca, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are slightly higher right now. Japan's Nikkei lost a little more than 0.5% today. Asian shares were down. Dutch electronics giant Philips warned today it'll probably lose a couple $100 million selling TVs in the first quarter of the year. Wall Street Friday, the Dow tacked on 50 points to close at 12,220. Last week, the Dow had its best week since last July.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The trend these days for TV viewing is video on demand and in your hand. Cable companies like Time Warner have developed iPad applications that allow subscribers to watch content anywhere. But how do the networks feel about all that portability? From Silicon Valley, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Time Warner makes billions selling subscriptions to its cable service. But Ben Z. Rose, president of the investment firm Battle Road, sees some signs the company's toying with a new way of doing business.
Yes, and I think that they're, you know, waking up to the fact that the old model may not be the one that prevails, you know, 3, 5, 10 years from now.
Rose says Time Warner execs would love to offer your favorite shows on any device at any time. So the company's new iPad app was a baby step in that direction. But the heads of major TV networks freaked out.
I think that they're paranoid about the loss of subscribers.
TV network execs worry Time Warner's app might change viewing habits, pushing Americans away from conventional cable. Networks get paid based on the number of cable subscribers they attract. So if you pull the plug on cable, networks lose.
And there's more and more of that going on.
New subscriptions are flat, so if Time Warner is going to start streaming their shows digitally, TV execs are going to insist the company pay handsomely for new digital rights. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, starting today, Russia is staying on daylight saving time all the time. No more changing clocks. When implementing the new plan, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev said the time change had negative effects on people and even animals. He cited unhappy cows who didn't like their milking times to be changed. Please, think of the cows. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Middle East is exploding, as you know, loudly and in real life. Virtually, too.
A lot of people were mobilized by the fact that they've been seeing what's going on Facebook. We became 50-200 in no time. In less than an hour, we became 30,000 people.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Revolution 2.0 and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.